Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Gamers Guild, the Star Wars Shatterpoint Edition. In this week's episode, we are going to be talking about our theory behind premier list building. My name is Kenny, and welcome to the Gamers Guild. All right, welcome back, everyone. Happy New Year. This is our first episode of 2024, and excited to kick things off. This week with us, we are bringing over a special guest from the Marvel Crisis Protocol side of things, Shadow Marvel, a.k.a. Matthew. How's it going, Matthew?
I'm tired. I don't have to have a lot of energy. I'm not the host today.
Yeah, so. you're not the host. I get to bring all the zest, and you just get to do, I guess, what I do on the MCP side of things and bring things down. Is this how it feels when I'm on the other side of
I'm supposed to do what you do on the MCP, so I'm supposed to be wrong during this entire I'm supposed to give bad advice?
Oh, okay, so that's how we're playing this. Not to confuse our listeners, but we also have Matt with us, one absolute Matt. And so I will be referring to them as Matthew and Matt throughout the episode.
I only do podcasts on the Shatterpoint with Matt. I don't think I've ever done a Shatterpoint podcast.
Every time you've been on, I've been on here. Yeah.
Well, good. So hopefully they'll be somewhat used to that then. How's it going, Matt?
I'm good. Just getting ready to talk about some Shatterpoint because at least one of us is going to Adepticon to play it, and then I'll have to be building a premiere list for that. So.
All right. Well, hopefully this discussion we have does you some good. I will not be going to Adepticon because I don't got time for that. I wish I did, because it sounds like a fantastic time, but you know, life gets in the way. So Matthew, since you are our guest this week, what have you been playing when you've been playing Shatterpoint lately?
I've been playing entirely casual games, and I've been kind of playing a mix. But mostly when I do lean towards my models, it's kind of like Ahsoka and Obi-Wan.
Okay.
That's kind of what I do. I'm a good guy person, so I generally play good guys, even though I think they're a little weaker right now.
My guy.
Yeah.
You need to come on this episode, or up on this show a little bit more, because it's just me and Ben repping the good guys, and I guess that is balanced, perfectly balanced.
Yeah, but there's the balance in the force right there.
There's always two.
So, yeah, but we need more good guys, because there's more Jedi than there are Sith. So it makes
right.
sense.
Right, exactly. That's why there was balance, right? Because there are more Jedi. Anyway, so I did have a recent like casual day where like everyone got together and I played like a whole bunch of things, and I think of the day, what I enjoyed the most was playing Mace Windu. It was the Mace box, and then it was Mace, and I think it was, I think it was Mace, and I think it was Obi-Wan with Republic Commandos as his clone of choice, Rex and Republic Commandos. I think that was what I played, and that was utterly slaughtered the person that I played against. Just complete and utter domination. Two struggles. It's a clean sweep.
Ooh, nice. How'd you find Mace and Obi-Wan worked for you?
Mace is a boss. Mace is a boss. He just does what he wants, and he does it well.
Yeah. He's a lot of fun. That box in general, I've enjoyed a lot. Matt, what about you? What have you been playing?
Been dabbling, trying to play some Vader. Not that I really want to, but just to see if I want to run him in a couple months.
Do you?
As of this moment, I still don't personally want to run him. I'm still liking my list. That I've been working on, but Vader's good. I haven't made that commitment to actually putting that box together yet, though.
Yeah, that's fair. Trying to stick with Cad and Dooku then.
Yeah, I mean, that's still my preferred list, and then still like the Mando's list as well. So,
okay, well, nice. Yeah, I've been I finally got my bounty hunters painted up, so I tried them out the other day. You know, Aura Singh performed better than I thought she would. She was I mean, I think she's still a little underwhelming for 5 points, but still, like, she did some decent work for me. But I played the Bounty Hunters box, and then I played them with Darth Maul, Jango, and the Mandalorian Commandos. It was a good time. I enjoyed the list. I had an abundance of force to do whatever the heck I wanted to, because Maul never needed to use force, and then the Bounty Hunters are regenerating the force just left and right. It was fun. I think it performed well. I want to try the CAD box or some of the CAD stuff. I think I would just do Jango instead of Aura, but I want to tie like CAD, Jango, and the Bounty Hunters with Anakin, if that's any surprise to you guys at all.
What, you want to play Anakin?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everyone says he never has enough force, and now he can get more force to do stuff.
And then it's... still suck.
Hey now.
You'll have all the force you can spend to not do well in the game.
I guess so, but it sounds fun to me, which is all that matters.
Yeah, true. If before you have fun losing.
I have fun playing this game. That's what I think.
That's fair.
I think you're only losing if you're not having fun.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, maybe if you're losing too, you're still losing, but you know.
I mean, I'm having fun because I'm winning. So I guess I'm winning.
Touche. Before we jump into our main topic, I want to talk over some of the spoilers. We've got 5 boxes coming in February, which is nuts.
Yeah.
It is a lot of boxes. Some of them were obviously delayed from January. But today I want to talk about the box with Luke, Leia Boosh, and Lando and R2.
Is it Boosh or Bosh?
I've always said Boosh. I had a local for Destiny who said Booshy, and I was like, that is completely incorrect.
That's definitely not it. That's the wrongest of them all.
But that's probably why I get Boosh, but it might be Bosh. I have no idea.
According to rebelscum.com forums, it is pronounced Bausch.
Bausch?
Yeah, Bausch.
Okay, cool. We'll go with Bausch. So we're going to go around. Each person's going to talk, say one thing they really like about the character and one thing they don't love about the character, and we'll go from there. Matt, let's start with you. Let's talk about Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker. What do you like about Luke?
Hold on, I'm trying to get his card pulled up.
Okay, Matthew.
So, everything? This character is nuts. He's got damage. I don't know. I'd be the worst person to start with, because I'll just like cover up all the rest of it. He's incredibly well, but I don't think he is broken, which is nice. He's not like some broken oppressive piece, but he's incredibly well-rounded. He's a piece that, you know, sometimes you pull a card and you're like, well, what am I supposed to do with this card? Because I can't really do much with them. And I feel like Luke Skywalker is a card outside of like being on the wrong position where they can't really affect the board. He's somebody who can do anything and have an impact on what's happening on the scenario. And he refreshes force, which is great. And he doesn't spend a lot of force, which is also great.
Those are both good things. I guess the thing you like is that he's a force-friendly character.
A force-friendly character. A flexible, impactful, force-friendly character.
Ooh,
and just as a side note, he also, I like the fact that he kind of is ushering in this like this wave of affecting like order deck, like different like gameplay like mechanics. Like for mm-hmm. him, when he's in the order deck, then he has immunity to expose. But when he's not in the order deck, then he is immune to pin. And that's not like huge, but I like that mechanic. I think that involving the order deck into the gameplay mechanics is very interesting gameplay space to design around.
I agree. Matt, what do you like about Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker?
I think the thing I like the most about him is his you can either profit by this or be destroyed power. Because, I mean, either you're because what that one reads is in an active objective within two, each enemy character that's contesting it may dash, and then Luke can dash towards that objective and make a five dice attack. So you're giving your opponents options to either move away or I'm going to come smack you.
I mean, Kenny, yeah. You love double attacking characters, right?
I do love double attacking characters. I'm wanting to run Luke and Anakin together at the same time. So
this is a character that can do it with only one force instead.
Yeah,
of
only
two.
One force. I mean, granted, it's not, you know,
it's a five dice attack, but
it's
yeah,
like a five dice attack.
I like that ability, especially if you're in the form three Sarisu, because that tree has a great
expertise. Double pushes, push
and then,
on one and two.
Like if you just get two successes, you get the double push, which is great if you're like already, you know, kindly asking characters to leave or units to leave before you get to choose that attack as well. So yeah.
I also don't think it's the other form is that bad either, because it's not like Anakin auto crit world, but you know, you can put the double hits off of one expertise can be very efficient when you're only rolling five dice, and being able to just go two down the track and deal five damage. It's pretty, that could be pretty nerve wracking for somebody when they have to make that decision on that point and be like, okay, I could not move, but if I only have five or less health, then
yeah. it's risky business. I think the thing, I mean, y'all took a lot of the good ones. One of the things I like is the I will not fight you ability. You know, sort of like Luke's whole passive thing, fighting his dad. Just if he's targeted with a melee attack, he can use a power. So he has to spend the force before the attack. But if the attack contains any failures, then one character in this unit may heal two and jump. So it heals him. And I like that it keeps him mobile and from being, oh my gosh, why am I blanking on the term? When you're, and what keeps him from being engaged with characters and keeps him, you know, free to move about as he pleases. All right, Matthew, what is one thing you dislike about Luke?
The model.
That's my go-to answer.
It's not a good model. I mean, it's not the worst model.
It's definitely not the worst.
It's not a good model.
That's fair to say.
Yeah. That's it. I like everything else. There's nothing on his card that I don't like. So,
I mean, at least he shares the same potato face as Leia's model from the.
I mean, I think this is in general like kind of a running theme with a lot of the OT models. I feel like I don't know if it's like because they are going like they start the game with the art style of the Clone Wars, which is like this animated show, and now they're moving into the original trilogy, which never really had like that kind of animated style. And
did you not watch the Ewoks cartoon?
Yeah, okay. And
what are you talking about? Boba Fett was introduced in a cartoon.
Boba Fett also is fine too, because Boba Fett's in like the armor. But when you see like these characters, they're kind of really just based on like the real people, and we kind of know them from live action, and we love them from live action. I don't think the art style translates as well. And I'm sure that AMG is trying their best with it to try to make it seem cohesive on the tabletop, so it doesn't feel like it's different styles between the different eras. But I just, for the most part, not across the board, but for the most part, I feel like the models in the original trilogy are severely lacking.
Yeah,
I don't think Luke's model's that bad. I mean, it's not as bad as Leia's.
Leia's is the worst. I agree.
Luke's model, I'd say, is pretty. It's pretty mid. It's not amazing, but it's not like it's not horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
compared to the rest,
I won't vomit looking at it, but I also won't really care. It elicits zero feelings out of me, which is maybe the greatest crime of all. At least Leia's model, I hate.
Yeah, her indoor one is not good.
Yeah. Matt, what's one thing you dislike about Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker? You can say the model as well.
No, I'm not gonna say that. not gonna double dip. Let's I don't really care for his dim soul side. I mean, it puts out a lot of damage, but I like his second side for his stances better.
Dang it, you took mine.
Sometimes you need to go first, Kenny.
I know. This is what I get for being a generous host. You know what? I'm just going to roll with that too, because like, there's not a lot to dislike about this character. At least, you know, as someone who loves good guys, like, this is like...
Yeah, he's overall a very good character.
He's beautiful.
Gives you everything you want. It's got offense, defense, maneuverability. It's got everything.
Yeah, I agree.
Another good thing about him is his squad doesn't really... He's independent from his squad, kind of, because his identity doesn't necessarily have to tie to them.
Yeah.
True.
Very true. All right, moving on to Boosh. I'm going to go first this time because I've decided to no longer be generous. Boosh, is that what we said? Boosh, Leia Organa?
I don't know. This is the internet telling me. So everyone who's listening can scream at their headsets. Just go on the Discord and tell us how to pronounce it.
Yeah, or just, you know, message our boss, Nate, and tell him that he needs to fire us or something.
No, don't do that.
I like a lot about her, but I'm going to keep it to one because I know Matthew probably wants to gush again. The thing I like is the I want 50,000 no less ability. So if this character wounds a primary unit, you gain an additional momentum unless the unit's controlling player spends a force. I think that is sweet. I don't know how much she's going to be killing primary units, but I think it's, you know, a possibility that can happen more often than not. And I don't know. It's just like a cool mechanic to like make your opponent have more decision trees, kind of like what Luke does with you can either profit by this or be destroyed. I feel like this is a very thematic ability in like that same way where it puts your opponent in a hard spot on like, okay, force is obviously a huge resource that you need to keep for your gameplay, or, you know, momentum is how you score and win the mission. So that's one thing I like. Matthew, what do you like?
I like the combination of the fan out and fearless and inventive ability. As somebody who is starting to really get into the concept of defenders in Marvel Crisis Protocol, I think this ability is very powerful. She has a very strong offensive stance card, and the ability for her to, at the start of her activation, to reposition. It's not even a advance. It's a reposition. So being engaged doesn't matter. And then to be able to place herself perfectly so that she can do a fearless and inventive attack to really maximize dice is, I think, a very powerful, impactful move. Especially, I mean, she can spend force like nobody's business, but that, I think that combination alone could make her be very threatening whenever she does activate.
That is a great metaphor. I like it. Matt, what about you?
I like the low blow, even though it is very force costly. Yeah. But like getting the extra push outside of, you know, attacking, and then getting a free focus action on top of that. I really like that ability.
You know, I was kind of thinking of something that I thought you would say, and I thought you would have said that you liked that she's a bounty hunter because she'd work with Cad.
I was going through that too as well, but I was trying to save that for the tags episode.
Ah, okay. That's fair.
But you totally did read my mind because that was my first pick in my head.
Yes. Okay. And then we'll start with Matthew on this one. What is one thing you dislike about Boosh?
I dislike low blow. I think it's a very fine ability. You know, It's a fine ability. I think that it's an ability that I think AMG was being extra cautious about. I mean, it costs 2 force. It's almost impossible, not impossible, it's because terrain could affect it, but it's almost impossible for you to disengage from the character when you're doing this ability. So like, it could be cool if like you could push them and get that free focus action and then be able to shoot somebody else. But in order to do that, you have to push them like off a point and then like push yourself into like a crate or something so that you're no longer engaged with them so that you can do that. And then it's expensive to be able to do it. Then you're basically kind of spending like 2 force to push someone off a point and to take a focus action, which I feel is expensive in this game where I always feel stressed for force. I don't think it's a bad ability, but I think it is not going to be, it's going to be kind of like that Grand Inquisitor ability where we're like really excited about it. And then at the end, we just kind of almost never use it because more often than not, people get clumped together and you're probably just going to want to spend 1 force instead to do Fearless and Inventive and gain more dice.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But in a pinch, 2 force to push someone off a point is basically twice as expensive as what Jango Fett does.
Yeah, not wrong.
That's it. That's probably the only thing that I dislike about her.
Matt, what about you?
I don't like her melee expertise tree.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it doesn't offer a whole lot.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like, I would never want to see expertise when I'm rolling her attack dice.
I think they did it because they're just so nervous about how explosive her attack tree, her stance tree is.
Yeah, they did that probably too because Fearless and Inventive, you're just adding more and more and more dice. So, like, they got to somewhat balance that out.
I mean, she's a character putting out potentially 10 damage. I mean, if she's going down her tree, she's almost definitely putting out 10 damage, and she can lace in. She can just, you know, choose the damage she wants to lace in pushes and conditions and all kinds of nonsense. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that is specifically trying to, balance out her tree.
I think for me, the thing I don't like is her defensive expertise.
Yes, that was the other thing I was going
to mention. I started to say that one. Somebody was like, I'll wait on that one. I started to say defensive expertise.
You left me mine this time. Thank you. The defensive expertise is just, I mean, couldn't do just a little bit more, but it is what it is. I mean, she can turn a crit to a failure, which is awesome, but it's three expertise.
I mean, she's got a pretty decent amount of dice rolling on defense, but
yeah,
she's a little, well, you know, if she kills the characters, they can't hit her back, right?
It's until they activate.
Not necessarily
true. Yeah, they can
still hit. They can still attack and do everything. What are you talking about?
All right. And last but most certainly not least is Lando and R2-D2 inside job. Matt, what is one thing you like about this duo of characters?
R2's model? No.
That is a gotcha model.
You know what? That's a valid answer.
Yeah, who doesn't want a little bar astromech droid on the battlefield? But on the card, one second. My internet's being slow for some reason.
All right, Matthew, what's one thing you like about Lando and R2?
This model is nuts. This model is absolutely not. If this model is not like a staple, like a meta staple, I don't know what you're looking for in this game. This model. All right, I have to choose one thing. I will gush in after you two choose, so I don't steal everything. I will start off by saying the fact that this character has like stealth.
Clever disguise.
Yeah, whenever it is in the order deck or in the reserve, they didn't even like say, oh, well, you know, like you could control and say, no, I want them to still be stealth. And you can put them in the reserve deck. And then they can't be targeted by ranged attacks. That is, I feel like that is kind of nuts.
It's gorgeous. It's so good.
It is a defense, a strong defensive power on a character that is already very defensive.
And they're only 3 points.
Oh my God. The 501st are crying. They are crying their eyes out with this model.
Yeah. I mean, this unit has great tags too. Rebel Alliance, Scoundrel, and Spy.
Yeah. So Boosh can move them around at start her activation as well.
Yep.
Yeah, the thing I like is actually forward planning, removing statuses or conditions off of primaries or secondaries within range 4 of them, your allied ones.
So good.
At the start of their activation, so good. Like, oh, there you go, a free heal of strain before they even start their activation.
And it's free.
It's free when they're not wounded or injured.
Sure, but again, they're incredibly they're hard to kill. They're like, this is like this model is like the Ghost Spider of the Ghost Spider doesn't even count because Ghost Spider is not stealth. This model is like the Howling Commandos of the affiliation because they have stealth, and if you don't take care of them, they just mess with your entire game plan. And they are very strong. They're very, oh my God.
They're so yeah. Good. They're very good. All right, Matt. I'm assuming you have the card loaded now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've got my thing I like the most is Mingle. Because, I mean, it's either dash or full advance if there's no enemy characters within three of you. So that can be get you bonkers to places you didn't expect to get.
Each character. Each character. Yeah. It's each not just one, it's each character.
It's both of them.
I mean, it's not that great. Compared to the 501st, the 501st get a hunker, but they also, these guys potentially can advance.
Yeah, but these guys just have stealth.
That's true.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Matt, we'll go in reverse order. What is one thing you dislike about Lando and R2?
Their stamina. They only got 7. So... if you are able to get in there at them, they're probably going to go down.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not that uncommon for... I mean, not everyone can be like 10 health droids. Like, for the most part...
That's the thing I like the least about them.
Yeah, but for the most part, like, they have pretty average stamina pool for... They have an average stamina pool for a support character. And for a 3-cost support character... They have a stamina pool, especially when you build in the fact that they have a pretty exceptional defense expertise. And they also roll 5 dice, regardless of how you're attacking them. And they have stealth. So like it kind of like really balances out the fact of why they have 7 health.
Yeah, but that's just the thing I like the least. Is they
fair
have
enough. It's fair enough. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying...
Quit nitpicking, Matthew.
This model is nuts.
It's probably the best 3 points we have.
I think it is definitely the best 3-point model in the game.
That might be fair to say. Okay. Matthew, what is one thing you dislike?
I dislike the fact that our first Lando Calrissian is in this Jabba the Hutt get up and not with full-on cape.
With a glorious cape.
Yeah. You can't have a Lando without a cape, and he doesn't have a cape. This model is officially invalidated, except for the fact that it's nuts.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the thing I dislike is the element of surprise ability. I don't like potentially giving myself conditions or... I think that's a dangerous game, especially a condition like exposed on a character with pretty decent defense expertise and also very minimal health. Like I think that's not worth the force to me personally.
I actually 100% agree with that. This ability is niche at best. I mean, I will admit it's not just like an auto. You have to get two failure results at least in order to get the expose.
But you're rolling more dice.
That means just roll better.
Yeah, you're rolling more dice. Their attacks are, you know, are not bad, but they're not phenomenal that you want to bank on their dice.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I'm sure there will be points where you want to spend a force to say, hey, sure, why not? I'll do this thing where I can then roll more dice, especially if they're, if they're like, especially if, like, for example, you pull them last, like they're the last to activate in a round, or, you know, in an order deck rather, and you pull it off, you're doing a ranged attack, you shoot some, you do the extra dice, you shoot the attack, and then you shuffle your order deck, and now they have stealth and they can't be shot back at.
Yeah. It has some use. It's just so, I don't see myself using it that often.
It's niche. It's niche.
Niche. Very niche. All right. But good discussion.
Wait.
Oh.
I don't think it's been properly established. This model is nuts. This model has push on two. This model has heals. This model pins, disarms. It has decent damage. It's not crazy damage, but for a three threat model, it has decent damage. It is dynamically defensive. It heals your character's conditions for free. I mean, this character, and it's got stealth. It's a nuts model.
Tell me how you really feel.
I think this is all right. And it's got a god tier R2 model. Let's be honest.
That model is pretty sweet. I'm excited and a little bit nervous to paint it.
No, I'm just going to give it to someone to paint that one. I can't mess with that.
That's fair. All right, let's jump into some premier list building. So now that we're getting a lot more releases, a lot more tags, I feel like personally that premier lists are going to, the premier showdown events are going to be a lot more popular, where you bring four squads instead of two. Just because there's more to choose from, and you know, I don't know. But so the basics of premier lists and events are, instead of bringing the typical two for a normal showdown event, you're bringing four squads, and you must use each of your squads at least once during the events. Can't overlap any kind of unique name or unit names. Things like Anakin and Darth Vader, can't have them in any of your four, or you can't have both of them in your four squads. Can't have, you know, multiples of 501st or multiples of R2 and Lando or anything like that. The other thing to note is at the start of the round, before you determine the first player, you choose your strike team for that game, along with, you know, the chosen mission set for your squad. That's kind of the basics of it. But we really wanted to talk about our mindsets between, or like on building a premier list and what we look for, what we try to accomplish and cover through our lists. So I guess first question I have is, what do you guys hope to cover across like your four squads when you're building a premier list? Matt, we'll start with you. Since you're doing it right now, right?
Yeah. So to me, I want to have, there's really two routes to, in my opinion, to go for building a premier list. Either build one strike force that you always have that one squad and you're accompanying it with the three others, so you can rotate that one, or you build a whole strike force of two squads and focus on a game plan for those two and a game plan for your other two. And I fall on that ladder. I like to focus, have two options, knowing what I'm going into on the battlefield. So like, right now my two lists are my Cad Dooku list with that's got droids and control, and my other one is Asajj and Maul with the rest of Mandos. So that way, like, one's more kind of a little tanky and mobile, the other one is going to be like more attrition and moving you off points with Jango and whatnot.
Okay, makes sense. Matthew, what are your thoughts?
So I haven't really built any premier models, premier lists, but I think the general mentality that you should probably ask yourself is, what are you accomplishing by adding these models? Everyone kind of has like their two models that, or the two squads that they feel most comfortable. Like Matt is most comfortable with like CAD and Dooku. And I feel like what you want to do is, what does these other two squads do to cover up what your weaknesses essentially be? What answers do they bring to the questions that the current squad doesn't necessarily have the best response to? You know, and I think what that kind of, when you're asking that, it's not necessarily like, well, I want one that's kind of like this and I want one that's kind of like that. You have to ask yourself, why do you want to have it one like this and one like that? And I think the primary thing you want to look at when you're trying to make that decision is either mission set, because you kind of, this, I forgot, do you determine, do you know the mission set when you're choosing your model, when you're choosing your squads?
No, you have not established the mission.
Yeah, you pick your squad, then roll for priority.
So you don't have that. So I feel like the biggest question that you're answering is, what's on the board? Because it's almost impossible to try and determine that based off of your opponent's squads. Like, if you're really good at kind of mapping that out and trying to figure out what they're going to play based on what's here, then that's great. But it's kind of like, it's iffy. Like, you just don't know. Unless you know that they've played these two other squads the whole game and you're in the last round of the tournament, and therefore you know they're going to play these two squads, so I'm going to play these other squads that may or may not be a decent counter to the squad. But when you're in your list building stage, you can't really account for that. So the only thing I can think of is, you want to account for where you are on the board, right? Like, that would be the biggest question you have to answer. Like, oh, I'm bringing this models, they're not that great when I'm set up in a situation that I don't have like easy ladder access, or I need more mobility, so I'm gonna bring my squad that has a bunch of jetpacks. I'll bring the Mandos, you know, in Matt's case, because they're able to get around the board a lot easier, and this terrain that's been set up is clearly not going to be good for my more, you know, dashy group of squad of people. So that I guess that's like the part that's part of me. Or you could just say, you know, whatever, just I'm gonna play the models I like the most, which is probably what I would do.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do too. But looking at it from a competitive mindset, I'd probably lean what Matt's doing, is having two entirely like separate squads. One, like what I'm most comfortable with, and two, what I'm like if there's a matchup I'm most scared of, what is good against that?
Well, how do you know what that matchup is? Like, for example,
so if I'm like worried about, like, you know, Vader's kind of a menace, as many of us know. And so, like, if I'm seeing like a potential Vader matchup, like, I might want something maybe a little more defensive and control oriented to just roll into with that, versus maybe just like playing my standard, you know, Anakin Padme that I might would love to play. Maybe I'd go something more like Luminara and Obi-Wan with some control built in, or, you know, something like that.
So I guess
I think control's pretty much your answer in both sets. I mean, and one of the reasons why I chose Mandos is like my second strike force is because, like Matthew was saying, terrain plays a big part, and droids don't have the best time trying to get up terrain. I mean, yeah, they got a lot of activations to move and whatnot, but Mandos just get around and get on that terrain so much easier because you don't have to worry about ingress points.
Yeah, Bo-Katan is a nuts maneuverable character who could just basically be like, she's like the perfect person to put into a center point, because she could just get anywhere on the map from the center point in like the second struggle.
Yeah, that's fair. What was the question you were about to ask, Matthew?
I was just, I don't remember what that was, but I mean, like, I guess the, I think Matt has the right idea. I think that when you look, when you're looking at your matchups, like even when you're looking at the matchups, like, oh, Vader is a menace. You know, like it's, you know, to give an analogy, another Marvel Crisis Protocol analogy, because that's the podcast I come from. But essentially, we have a league, and in this league, you have open rosters. So basically, every week people play, and they can bring whatever roster they want. And you could look at their history and see, oh, well, they've played a lot of, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm going to bring a squad because they're probably going to play Guardians of the Galaxy. They played Guardians of the Galaxy the last 5 weeks. So I'm going to bring a squad that counters aggro. And then they show up with Web Warriors because they decided that week they wanted to do Web Warriors. And then you're kind of messed up. It's a really dangerous game to try and guess what your opponent's working with. And I think it's doubly so in this game because your game plan of what you do because of the randomness of this game, it might not necessarily even pan out to be, it's hard to build a hard counter list. Like you can't like say, well, this is my main squad and then this is my anti-Vader squad because one, they might not even play Vader in that game against you. They might look at your list and say, well, they have an anti-Vader list, so I'm not going to play the Vader in this list. And then you just got juked. You got juked. So
yeah, I lost like, list chicken.
Yeah, you lost the list chicken essentially. And even if you win the list chicken, I don't even know how effective counter lists are into other lists because of how random. Like you can't like execute a game plan to counter Vader, if that makes sense. So in my mind, like the biggest question, because the only information you have when you're making this decision is what does the board look like? That is kind of, in my mind, when I'm building a list, I'm building what I'm most comfortable with, but then my counter would be, well, what is the weakness of what I'm most comfortable with from a terrain situation? And then let me build a way to essentially counter my weaknesses on the board. Because that's what's going to impact my decisions and how I score points is how I get around that this particular terrain set.
Yeah, that's entirely fair. I didn't even when I've thought about building from your list and like built some, I've never thought about like, oh, like what do I think terrain, like what kind of impact will terrain have on my squads? Because I play a lot of, you know, Grand Republic, and they're not a whole lot of great like options on hopping up terrain. Like you've got some like that have scale, you have the handmaidens that are, they got their jumps or their skills that they can do on their like with their abilities. But yeah, I've never like thought about that specific mindset like in going into building my list. That's interesting. Nice. So what do y'all think about squads working together? Do y'all really think like this is like you just bring two separate squads that work together, or that that like you just like play them each individually, or do you think you go like four squads that like all kind of can gel together, like, you know, like any of like the four, like I would choose four Grand Republic squads, like maybe four, like all four of them have some play amongst each other, or maybe there's just one main squad and then I pair like all my three different squads with that squad. What do y'all generally lean towards? Or maybe it just depends on like, you know, what kind of,
I think it depends on the player, but like I said, myself, I lean to have just two that I know I'm either using this list or this list. Like, but for you, for instance, who loves to play Anakin, you could, you know, always have Anakin squad. And then he gels so well with all the other, army, squads, you could just have three other squads and pick and choose who you're going to bring each round. I think that's the two routes I think you have to go. I mean, you just gotta, so if you have one squad you're more comfortable playing with, just one half of your squad, bring that one and then bring three other squads that can pair well with that one.
Makes sense. Matthew, what do you think? What direction would you lean?
I mean, I think that's a perfectly valid approach. I think that that's not something I would do. I did do that the one time I did a premier tournament way back in the infancy of this game. And I kind of did that around Vader. And I just felt that was sort of a, I mean, I did it for purpose just to see what Vader could do, but I felt like it kind of also pigeonholes me a little bit too much in terms of what my game plan is going to be. It makes me very predictable because you can very much tell that that was what I was doing. But I also think that is also an incredibly valid casual approach, in my opinion, because it's a way to keep the tournament very varied and lively and interesting for yourself. I don't know if it's competitive, but I don't know what necessarily if it would be. What alternatively would be competitive? For me personally, I think what I would probably do is I would probably bring two squads. I mean, that work well together, and two other squads that work well together, and that it wouldn't be an absolute crime against humanity if I swapped in like a third combination of the squads. And by crime against humanity, I mean like theme.
Yeah. Yes, I guess that's what was another one of my questions with all this is like, do you try to choose like all four of your squads so they're all thematic together? Like all no. Grand Republic, or would you go like all Rebel Alliance here in the near future? Or would you just choose two and two and it's like you got Grand Republic on one and then maybe you have Bounty Hunters on the other or something like that?
I would not theme across all four, because as far as I'm concerned, the concepts of the premier roster has no bearing on what story you're telling in your game, what narrative event is happening. The characters that end up on the table are the ones who are telling the story. It's sort of like the same like with Marvel Crisis Protocol, where like I don't view my roster to be the team that is like hanging out at Avengers Mansion, you know, sipping hot chocolate. Like I view solely when they get deployed, this is the story that's being told. It's these characters against those characters in this scenario. So for me, I would not theme across all four.
You know, you brought up a very good point, because I personally try to theme across all four, but it being within, I mean, like that one
Jedi and clone trooper players, so I mean that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it's super easy to do, but like, you know, I was like can I do Anakin and Luke and all that kind of stuff and make it work, and like, yeah, I think I definitely could.
See Kenny, I'm helping you grow.
You're helping me grow. See, I'm glad I invited you on this week. I'm glad Sean is sick and not here with us this week. Just kidding, hopefully Sean's feeling better. Okay, where to next?
Probably mission. Like, which mission? Yeah. Because you only choose one mission to bring with you. I mean, right now we only have two, so. So.
Yeah. Hopefully we get more in 2024.
That's 2024, the year of the third mission.
Man, hopefully it's like.
Please, third, fourth, three, and fifth.
Yeah. Give us more. So you just got to figure out which mission you like to play on better, or what your squad feels like. Because, I mean, some people really like the Death Donut that we've aptly named it. But for, like, my personal Strike Force, I'm still packing the core box one, Shifting Priorities, just because I like it a little more spread out, since my droids, which is my main squad, have that more movement than the clones usually do. So if somebody's bringing clones. But the Death Donut is, I mean, it's a very attrition-focused one because you're so much closer together.
I think that makes sense for you, too, because you built your squad around the existence of this mission.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. It's like, because I guess, again, with your squad building, do you just build all your squads around that same mission, or do you like build one squad for one and maybe one more so for the other? And I don't know, because you don't know the mission before the game either.
You just got to clench.
Well, you got to have a game plan for both, for the two that yeah. you have. But personally, I like my Mandos on the shifting on both of them actually, because Mandos are a little more hardy with their defense because they're Beskar and their expertise are a little better at defending. So if I have a feeling that there's a chance we might be on Death Donut, I might lean towards, you know, putting out the Mando squad rather than the droids.
Yeah, that makes personally. Sense. Yeah, I think you, if I were to build or choose a mission for my roster, like I would choose the one that, you know, I think both of my squads are the best at. So like the Grand Republic, I think they're better on the donut. And so I would choose the donut for the Grand Republic and then just pray that maybe I win priority so I can keep that.
I think most people are taking the donut from what I've looked at, but
yeah, it's just, you know, it's just the researcher for Star Wars Shadow Point.
Don't put that evil on the,
there's nothing wrong with researcher. It's perfect.
There is plenty wrong with researcher, and we don't need to get that into that onto this podcast. And we don't need to put the researcher evil onto any of these missions. None of these missions are a researcher.
No, they're not. I'm just being ridiculous. But yeah, I think choosing a mission for your roster, do you choose your mission first, or do you choose your squads first and then choose your mission after you've decided on your squads, because you'll know which one's better?
I mean, right now I'd lean more towards picking your mission afterward. I mean, know your pieces and then figure out what they work better on whenever you have priority.
Yeah. I honestly don't think the two missions are that dynamically different that,
yeah, they both play pretty similar.
Yeah. For me, I will always bring Sabotage Showdown because I personally think it is a more engaging and slightly more balanced mission than Shifting Priorities. But at the same time, I've played plenty on both, and I don't think that they play so different that you're just like, well, this list is that much better. Like I don't think I could build a squad where I say, oh, well, this one just hard loses to Shifting Priority.
Yeah.
I think this option will be better down the road once we actually get more missions and it'll have more of an impact on your squad.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little nervous about that, the way it's formed up. I would say, if the more dynamically different the missions get, I think competitively speaking, that could end up making more boring roster choices. It'll shrink roster decision making, because if you need to have if you're not choosing, it's not like in Marvel Crisis Protocol where you choose your characters based on what crises you get. If you don't even know what your mission is, you don't know what your layout is, you don't know anything aside from what the board looks like, you don't even know what side of the board you're going to be on, then you're just going to be pushed more and more towards picking generically good characters that can handle whatever situation is given to them, as opposed to specialists.
That's a fair assessment.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. And they also could end up changing how things are as time goes on. AMG is known to be very willing to change core rules and liven up things. So they could release, like, by the time they release the fourth mission, they say, okay, well, we're also updating the core rules. We've had a year into this game, and we're going to be like, okay, we've made some analysis. And we're going to make some slight changes to how, you know, we deploy a mission.
Another thing I really like about this, the Premier Showdown format, is that you have to play each of your squads once. And it shows how more of a well-rounded player you are.
Yeah, this is...
or adaptable.
This is kind of, I guess, Star Wars Shatterpoint timelines, in a way. But a lot more travel-friendly.
Probably has a similar mentality of...
Of showcasing a player's skill instead of just like their mastery over one single roster.
Right. The type of skill that Will Schick seems to value.
Yeah, totally valid. Any final thoughts on premier list building, or do y'all want to get into some of our listener questions?
I mean, I think we can move to some listener questions.
Yeah, they'll know more than us.
They always do. But before we jump over to that, a word from our sponsors.
Well, thank you, Kenny, or Sean, or myself. I don't know who just let me out of the bottle because this is a pre-recorded ad. But while our hosts may not be the same week to week, one thing that is constant are awesome sponsors in GameChefs.org in the US and Tritex Games in the UK. Why listen to
insert host name here
about what is good and not when you can buy the model and find out yourself? Podcast hosts barely know what they're talking about, but the deals are rock bottom facts. So head over to the Tritex and use the code TritexGGCP5 or go to Game Chefs with the code GamersGuild for big, big, big discounts. Now, back to whichever host is talking about whatever it is they're talking about.
All right. Earlier today, I asked in our Discord, please join our Discord, it'll be in the show notes, but I asked in our Discord if any questions that our listeners had on list building for premier events. Our first question is from Cliff Jumper. They ask, what do you focus on with list building? Things such as dice list displacement, tag synergies, primary support, etc. So anything y'all specifically look for when focusing on a premier list in those kind of categories?
I do like to have some control aspects, like force powers that displace people. I don't really care as much for the tag synergies, even though because half my main squad only has droids, the other half doesn't. So I mean, tag synergies are good, but I like to focus on what can I do without rolling dice that is going to score me points.
Yeah, you're generally a major control player, so that makes sense. In this game, at least. Yeah, in this game, and. MCP, that's a different story. I think what I focus on with list building is I like to focus on theme. I want my two lists on the table to thematically make sense together, have some kind of good story that we can roll with for it, which is, I mean, I play a lot of Grand Republic, but when I'm not playing them, like, I'll just try to play droids or anything kind of like that. Matthew, what about you?
Well, I definitely already include theme in my concept, mostly because, I mean, theme is king, and also because, as I've said before in prior casts and on the Discord, I've said, like, yeah, the missions themselves lack a certain level of flavor, and I need to bring that as best I can for my squads. However, from what Cliff Jumper is probably more asking, I would say that I tend to build my squads so that the individual squads have answers to things. Like, you know, like if I need control, I need to make sure I slot in a Django as a secondary because I need to make sure that I have some answers if I'm presented with any given scenario. I need to be able to have as many outs, as it were, when I'm playing. So, and I also agree with Matt that I think that tag synergy is nice, but I think beyond the individual squad you're building, probably even more so in Premier, maybe more so in Premier, it's just more important that your squads are synergistic, less so that your entire strike force is synergistic, because a lot of times they're not even necessarily close to each other. There's like one on one side of the board and one on the other side of the board, and they're not necessarily need to be synergistic to like an extreme level.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Like, outside of theme, I would lean things like tag synergies, because I want my, and that kind of goes alongside of theme. But those tag synergies, when you get those rolling, are really, really nice. Things like, I mean, Matt loves the Mandalorians because they have all those synergies within each other. Things like that are things I try to build around in general for squad building, strike team building, both for premier lists and just the standard. Our next question comes from Quincy. Do you prefer to build around a core strike team that you will run every game and then flex in others, or try to balance, or try to build four balance strike teams that you can pick and choose whenever?
I feel like I've already answered that question.
Yeah, I think I have too, because I mean, I'm picking the two. I'm devoting my time to two and two rather than, you know, picking one that's really good and trying to put something else with that.
Yeah, I tend to be a two and two kind of person too.
I'd probably be two and two, but being Grand Republic, I think it's easy to just pick like one and then do like the rotation of the flex.
Yeah,
that one being Anakin, but I mean, that's more so like, I think if I weren't trying to be like as competitive, that's probably what I would do. But if I were trying to be competitive, it would more than likely be just the two and two.
It's really just, what brand of Ewok am I bringing to the table?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, the Ewoks do sound fun.
they do. I like that new card that they have too, that you get shuffled into the order deck. I think that's
a neat,
that's such a fun mechanic that I can't wait to see explored more.
And yeah. Again, I love the fact that they're going to the order deck is great.
Mm-hmm. Last question. This one is again from Quincy. How much is too much when it comes to tag synergies and premier list building? In particular, it's easy to get away with easy to get carried away with the Grand Republic.
I think where Grand Republic is a little special, because I think it's important to note that a lot of the Grand Republic synergies are really, really, really built around everyone being Grand Republic. Like it's easy to get carried away because you have characters like Obi-Wan Kenobi, where essentially any character who's not Grand Republic is lowering the level of synergy you have because he has a global ability. And then you have all these other, like, if this person is Grand Republic, then they get immune to this. And if this person is, you know, and then you have all the coordinated fires, and there's just so much, that entire faction is built around the concept of global synergy. So I totally get it for Grand Republic players, myself being one until the Rebels come out, to get carried away with the synergy, because that is just essentially their strength. The more you water down their synergies, the weaker they are. The more you realize you're just bringing crappy clones.
I mean, I hate you for that.
Because it's true.
Yeah, I know. That's the reason why. Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends. Like, I think if you're trying to synergize across your four strike teams or your four squads,
I think that helps build your four, because
that can get a little much depending on your group. Like Grand Republic, like Matthew said, is so unique because they have such a large character pool that they can pull from. That it makes it just really easy to do that. But if you go somewhere like right now, like the Inquisitors or the Bounty Hunters, like you can't really do that as much. So yeah, it kind of just depends on the tag that you're pulling from.
Yeah, because you got me thinking when we talked about Boosh and, you know, how she has a Bounty Hunter tag. I was like, well, who could I run as my primary and what could be my secondary? Just to, you know, go all out Bounty Hunter. But I mean, depends on the tags. I mean, depends on how you're building your overall squad.
But I think it's also, it's cool if you have like a Bounty Hunter squad. But nobody's building like four squads of Bounty Hunters. I don't even know how long it's going to be before we get like four squads worth of Bounty Hunter characters in this game. But, you know, you don't necessarily need that as your synergies, you know. And as droids, it's kind of the same thing. You can kind of have like, this is my droid squad, and they're just bomber because they're really great. And then the other squad, I have something else that maybe just makes everything great. Like, that's, you know, part of the great thing about the Mandos. They can kind of just be slotted in with anything. And, you know, but Grand Republic is just kind of like, well, if you don't have a lot of Grand Republic characters, and Obi-Wan is that much worse.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much it from this episode. Hopefully everyone enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed talking the theory list
her theory of building premier lists. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, keep on gaming.